And welcome to Ask the Expert on Learn TV. Having trouble talking this morning. So the show where you can connect directly with the experts to get your questions answered live. Now go ahead, get your questions into the chat and we'll get to as many as we can. Today, we're talking about Microsoft Build, right? Which just happened. And I'm Steve Murawski and I'm excited to be here with Lavanya Kasarabata. And we're going to talk about DevSecOps and some of the exciting stuff that we announced at Build this past week. So Lavanya, welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Stephen. It was a great week at Build. Great connecting with lots and lots of customers and enjoyed the sessions with you, Stephen. So really looking forward to hearing from all of you now.
Yeah, so let's just kind of start out with kind of the big announcement. What did we announce at Build in specifically in regards to DevSecOps?
So, Stephen, I think for a while, what we've been seeing and hearing from our customers is, the security admins usually use our Azure Security Center, and they really don't know what's going on the left. And I'm going to refer to the developer side of the spectrum as the left side of the spectrum. So when a lot of organizations and customers shift left their security practices, those security assessments that happen, on the left side are really not visible on the right side. And that's like, I wouldn't say it's frustrating, but it's kind of, impeding in terms of, how they kind of make things better and how do you find issues earlier and improve the security, posture of the workloads overall. So I think what we announced is actually bridging that gap between the left and the right. And we've basically integrated GitHub into Azure Security Center. So lots of security admins can now basically go and look into what security assessments are happening in our CI/CD pipeline when we first started off with GitHub.
Wonderful. So let's just talk a little bit more about that. That kind of shift left experience, and I think you put a little bit of you start to define that a little bit, and we talk about everything that happens, kind of the developer experience is kind of the the shift left, and that term really comes about from the DevOps space, right? We want to move more things that we would normally like check in production to happen earlier in the development cycle. And so we saw this around like application testing a lot. And so we saw, like integration tests and unit tests and trying to increase our test coverage. We wanted to bring in code reviews and be able to pop up previews of UI changes so we could review those things much earlier in the cycle than waiting till things get out into production to get our feedback. And so I think, when we start talking about DevSecOps or how do we bring security into this DevOps workflow, it's really about that shift left. And some of it is we want our security folks to become involved in the conversation earlier, but also we want them to have a chance to explore in their tools and get information from from what happens at development time. And I think that's in large part where this feature set's kind of coming from, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So once the developer enables this container scanning or CI/CD scanning, of our container images on the left and pushes these images into registries, that's where the security admin actually can go in today into Azure Security Center, where they're most familiar with. They can click on affected resources, if there are any, and we will basically flag what kind of vulnerabilities we found, both at what we found in the registry, and we'll enrich those registry scan results with the CI/CD scan results. So you basically have, a nice breadcrumb line right from the registry of that image all the way back into, what kind of repo this came from, what kind of workflow this actually, pushed this image, that sort of thing.
Okay. And we're starting to get some questions in, so this is great. And the first question that we have come in is, where should I start with DevSecOps? And I think we both have some opinions here, and so Lavanya, why don't you start if somebody's interested in DevSecOps, what are some of the first things that they should start thinking about, or where they can get started?
So it really depends. Like, I mean, in terms of, you know, what your persona is, you know, I like to break it down into, you know, who are you? Like, are you a developer? Are you a security admin? Like, you know, are you a security analyst? That sort of thing. For a developer, definitely, you know, you want to kind of, you know, push in secure code. You want to have that tooling right up front. You want to use that tooling and make sure that, you know, you're securely pushing that code. So, for example, GitHub, you know, has a GitHub Security Center. You have, you know, way of administering secrets. You have these variety of things which are happening on your side of the thing. But let's say I'm a security admin. My main, my main intention is to make sure the overall workload is secure. It's meeting the security posture of the company. I want to know if there are, there are vulnerabilities present, and I want to know if I can, you know, detect them earlier on in the pipeline, in the lifecycle of this container image. So I would want to kind of enforce policies. I would want to, you know, quarantine these images. I want to make sure that I run, you know, CI/CD scanning earlier on, so I know where, you know, which repo, where is it coming from. So I can work with the developer team to ensure that, you know, hey, this is the repo where it seems to be pushing, you know, vulnerable images. Let's try and go and fix that. Maybe enforce some repo policies, security policies, right up front in the, you know, in the shift left side.
Wonderful. And this is why I appreciate having you on here with me, because like I know I've got a bit of the dev background. I've got a bit of the operations background, but where I haven't specifically worked is while security's touched those aspects, right? I haven't worked in the security space. And so I love that you're bringing kind of that security engineer viewpoint and, you know, how do I look at that environment? From the developer and operations perspective, right? We really want to bring security into that shift left experience, but we don't need to bring it all at one time, right? So if we're looking at where to start, pick a spot. I think one of the great spots is go talk to that security engineer, right? Go find your Lavagna counterpart, sit down, have lunch, and talk about virtual coffee in today's environment. And find out what some of their their biggest concerns are, and see if there's a way that you can address that in your workflow, right? If vulnerable container images are an important part of, you know, what you are trying to remediate and one of the biggest problems you're facing, then this is a great place to start having that conversation of how do I surface that information better so that you can do your job better, you know, and I can make a small change to my operation to make your job better. So, you know, just like DevOps is really this thing is how do we work together? DevSecOps is how do we bring security into that equation? So, all right, we've got another question, right? And I think this tails in very nicely with what we were just talking about. And it's how can I get our security team involved in security at development time? And so that's a question from Ben. So thank you, Ben. And so Lavanya, since you bring that security engineer perspective, what do you think? How can developers reach out to those security folks and bring them into that discussion?
I think you answered it perfectly in the last question, Stephen. So we need to work as a team. I think that's super important. We can't really, I mean, we do understand that we have different personas and different roles in the company. But like what you beautifully said, like, you know, we need to grab each other, discuss what's important for each other, and see what we can do right up front. Like the way, when I talk to my developer, they're mostly interested in how can I check in code fast? How can I push things, you know, quickly into the production environment? How can I churn out features? My focus is completely on the other side. Like, hey, I want these workloads to meet our security posture. I want to make sure that we catch things early. And I'm not saying the developer doesn't think so, but they do as well. But how do we get these two people in together? And how do I feel comfortable that the developer is doing the right thing? And that's where bridging the gap between the left and the right of the spectrum is super important. I should be able to go into, you know, Azure Security Center or whatever portal that is present to understand, you know, where are vulnerabilities actually coming from? What can I do? What measures can I do to fix that and work with the developer to kind of, you know, fix that earlier on? And of course, everybody is a fan of, you know, fixing issues earlier on rather than actually fixing issues at runtime.
I think that's a great take on, you know, what we do at the practitioner level. I also think there's an organizational aspect to this. And what we saw in the DevOps movement, right, was that we had this kind of contention between development and operations because they were incentivized differently. Operations was incentivized for keeping, you know, defects low, for keeping environments online, for keeping, you know, for basically not having outages, right? Because when there was an outage, then somebody's job was in danger. Developers, on the other hand, were incentivized for getting new features out, getting changes out. And so to deliver those changes required changing the environment, which increased the chance of something going wrong and something breaking and right. And technical debt or bug fixes and things really didn't tend to get a lot of priority. So until we started to incentivize operations for helping deliver new features and get new things out into production and incentivizing developers to keep the environment, you know, up and running and stable, we had this natural tension. And we see the same in security, right? So I think we also need to, as we start to, if we want to get our development team and our security teams working together at development time, we need to kind of bridge some of those responsibilities and make them more shared. How does our security team help us get new secure features out? How does our development team help our security team keep the environment secure and locked down? So I think that becomes a part of the equation as well.
That's right.
We have a question from Parker. And Parker asks, what type of vulnerabilities do we need to be concerned with? Now, I think we can scope some of this to container vulnerabilities, and we can talk more in general about vulnerabilities too. But Lavanya, what do you think about Parker's question about vulnerability, what type of vulnerabilities you need to be concerned with?
Yeah, I think we need to, like you said, you know, we need to scope it down. Right now, you know, what we've been working on is container security. And then, you know, we will be planning to work on serverless workloads, functions, web apps, and so on. So it really depends on, you know, which workload, what space are you in, and so on. But yeah, for right now, I think, you know, you'll definitely need to be concerned about, you know, what kind of vulnerabilities are present in those images. The other thing I can easily think of is what kind of credentials that are you kind of baking into those container images. You definitely want to, you know, find those kind of, credentials earlier on and detect them earlier on. Because typically credentials don't change over the course of the entire life cycle of that, you know, container image. Malware is another thing that we came across from, you know, customers saying they would like to know what kind of malware is detected. So it really depends on, you know, what kind of vulnerabilities you're looking at, what kind of scanning specifically you're looking at. Right now, what we've released is basically, you know, we'll be able to let you know what kind of CVEs and vulnerabilities that have been found as part of those container images. We will be able to kind of, you know, detect them, cross-verify against, you know, known data outside and basically flag those vulnerabilities.
Yeah, and this is a multi-layered problem, right? So we have what's in a container and, you know, and the dependencies that exist there and how they may impact my application. But then there's also the, you know, the specific application code, the application that I'm building, the dependencies it's immediately leveraging. And then do I have secrets embedded there as well, right? So we have this, and then we have tools across the stack in terms of the container scanning in collaboration with Security Center and GitHub Actions. And then we have in GitHub itself, we have this, we have CodeQL, which can help look at how our application behaves and see if it follows security practices and looks at known vulnerability patterns. We have Dependabot, which helps look at our application dependencies to make sure that we're current and up to date and that there's things without CVEs there. And then in the container scans themselves, it's looking for good practices in the container. It's looking for vulnerable dependencies that are part of that base image. And so we've got a variety of things we can look across. Now, what ones you should care about or be most concerned with is, you know, a lot of the things that get flagged as high risk, but also, right, these are a starting place for a discussion of what are the exploit vectors for these things, right? Is this something that's going to be surfaced in the application or the runtime environment that we're going to have, like depending on what kind of access people have to it? There isn't a one-size-fits-all answer to this, but these scans give you information in which you can take, and this is where the security professionals and the application and experts and the business owners all come into play, because now we have to say, we have to weigh these security concerns against the business needs of the organization, because it's one of those areas of dynamic tension where we may need to absorb some risk to get a certain reward, right? To get different types of reward. That's what business environments are. It's risk, and the effective management of that risk, it requires the union of all of those levels of expertise. So, thank you, Parker, for that question. And we've got another one coming in. We've got them coming in a nice clip. I like this. I don't know about you, Lavanya, but I like this. Actually, before we get into this next question, Lavanya, we do have, because we've got these features in preview, we have a way to reach out to the team to get some feedback, correct? Because we want people to try this out and get stuff back. So is there like a email address that you want folks to reach out to?
Yeah, absolutely. So because this is in public preview right now, all of us are really looking forward for you to kind of test this feature, give us your feedback, and let us know what you think. It could be as simple as the UI is not up to the mark, or you have any, you have suggestions on how we can make the entire experience better. So there is an email, there's an alias to which you can write your questions, anything. I mean, if things are not working, we're happy to kind of help you. That's azseccontainerred@microsoft.com. You can reach out to me as well. My alias is lakasa@microsoft.com as well.
Wonderful. So yes, please reach out to the product team as you try this feature out. And if you want to get started with it, there's instructions on, we have a blog post out that kind of recapped some of the DevSecOps announcements at Build. And that's at aka.ms/DevSecOpsBuild21blog. And there are instructions there. The email address that Lavanya mentioned is documented there, but as well as instructions on how to enable that container scanning integration in Azure Security Center with GitHub Actions.
And I just wanted to add, basically, the blog actually takes you to the documentation page as well, the ASC documentation. So go ahead, take a read, and let us know.
Yes, and give it a try. Now we have a question from Jesus, and that is, what do you consider is a good way to make peers aware of how important security is? Now, Lavanya, I think this is probably right in your wheelhouse, because it's the message we've been talking about a lot lately, but also is where you focus a lot. So how do you make people aware of how important?
So, yeah, this is kind of an interesting question. I know we've talked about how teams can work together and make sure that we bring in security earlier on, understand their requirements, and try to kind of make sure we do the right thing. I think this kind of aligns on that, and that's where I think both kind of sides of the spectrum need to kind of make each other aware. How do you make them aware that security is important? I think there's no easy way to answer this. We all know security is important, and we want to find those issues earlier on. But by no means, I'm trying to say that, you know, by having, you know, CI/CD scanning and you're done. It's never the case. You know, you need to have continuous scanning in your registries. I'm talking about like the container space. So let's say the image is making its way from the workflow. It's getting pushed into a registry. And then from the registry, this image is being used in a runtime Kubernetes cluster. Just by having CI/CD scan of the things, nope, you're not just washing your hands off and saying, I'm done with security. I've done this earlier on, and that should take care of things. The answer is no, unfortunately. You need to have like continuous scanning at the registry level, and also runtime scanning is equally important. We need to kind of think of security across the spectrum as complementing each other, not as actually replacing one or the other. So the importance of security, you're seeing that it's kind of flowing through the entire pipeline. So I think like bringing that in the forefront of discussions, making sure when you design your applications, making sure that, you know, these conversations are actually happening between the teams, and not having, you know, two segregated teams, but having them all together, I think that also helps understanding the requirements from both sides of the coin.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that security is important is definitely, you know, it's out there, right? You don't want your company to be in the news for the next data breach, right? That's just, you know, but when we approach the conversation, keeping that balance in mind, right? Because everything we do from a security perspective is going to add a little, like a speed bump or a hurdle or something that we have to work around. It's going to require some extra effort to go out and achieve that level of risk mitigation. And so coming into the discussion of, hey, security is important, but shipping the software that makes our company money is important too, right? And so trying to identify where that balance point is so that we reduce the biggest risks, but we enable our company to do the things it needs to do, right? And hey, is releasing, is releasing this particular bit of software with these particular possible vulnerabilities into our internal environment versus our external environment, we're going to have a slightly different conversation, right? So coming into it and understanding security is important, but we have to balance it with the other important things in our ecosystem as well, right? It's not the no button, right? This is the problem we had in operations is, you know, everything was a risk. So no, we're not going to do it. And coming at it from that approach does not win you any friends or help influence your peers. So, all right. Another question coming up. We've got, is bumping dependency versions safe to do for my applications? And I'm happy to start with this one because this is something we showed off in our demo. And in GitHub, we have Dependabot, which can look at our application's dependencies. And if it sees outdated ones, even submit pull requests back to automatically bump us to a version that we've defined as supported. And so this is the cool thing that Dependabot does is it looks at your, for the application types it understands, right? It looks at the dependencies you've specified, and it looks to see if there's a version of that dependency that fits your dependency constraints that you've identified in like your metadata files. If it's a Node application, right, you might have specified, you know, certain versions of different NPM modules that you can support, right? And it can look at your lock file or the file that shows which dependencies you've actually bound against, and look to see if there's new versions available that are within the constraints you've identified. Now, whether it's safe to bump or not, you really need to, that depends on the constraints that you've put on. So if you have said, hey, I just want this dependency, I don't care what version, well, I hope your testing is very good, right? Because this is where your automated testing is going to help too. Because if you have a good automated testing on your pull requests, you can try that version bump in your pull request and have a degree of confidence whether or not that dependency bump is going to work or not. Now, if you don't do that kind of testing against your pull requests, then that's going to be up to whether you feel comfortable making that change or not. So, Lavanya, any thoughts on dependency bumping?
No, I think you covered that well, Stephen.
Okay. So we've got a few more minutes left, and we've got a few more questions that we can kind of jump into. Now, around the feature set that we've got with Azure Security Center, right? Are there any plans for GA, or is that something that's just, it's the direction we're heading, we're in preview, we really want to get feedback now?
So that's a great question, Stephen. We do definitely plan to, the short answer is we do definitely plan to go to GA. And while we go to GA, I do want to add that, you know, for most of our customers who are on Azure DevOps, we definitely plan to add this functionality to Azure DevOps. You know, this is not the end of the road where, you know, we're just going to add into GitHub and then ship that to GA. We definitely plan to add Azure DevOps. It's equally important to us. So we want to add that functionality there. And while I'm there, I do also want to kind of give a sneak peek that, you know, not just vulnerability scanning, but we're also looking at adding credential scanning, malware scanning as we kind of, you know, keep moving. So, yeah, this is just the first step. We've done with GitHub integration with Azure Security Center, but there's a lot more to come down the road.
So along that line, actually, that tails in nicely with our next question, which is, you know, how can we manage access to secrets? And so we've talked about some secret scanning. I know GitHub's got some secret scanning. We talked about wanting to include secret scanning into your container scans. What have you seen people talking about in terms of managing access to secrets?
So when I've been writing the workflows and I've also kind of engaged with customers, GitHub actually helps you have this managing secrets as a secret file, which I've done, I think, as part of the demo too. So you can actually have a secret file. You can, place your secret, and you actually can't even see it, even when you update it. So that's the beauty of it. So that's a nice way of managing, access to managing secrets within GitHub.
Yep. And that's one good step. And then I like Azure Key Vault. So Azure Key Vault, provides us a great way to do. It has support for rotating secrets. I like getting my secrets into there because then I can manage my secrets in that one place and then consume them everywhere I need to. And I can consume them in my CI pipelines, whether it's Azure DevOps or whether it's GitHub or Jenkins or whatever.
Absolutely.
But also, the SDKs support me including that in my application. So I can wait, and instead of having to embed as part of my build these secrets into my application, I can retrieve them at runtime. And I can use things like managed identities and service principles assigned to my application to request access to those secrets at runtime, and then not even have to have them, hard-coded or embedded in my application at all. So we've got a couple different ways that we can manage our access to secrets. Now, we're kind of coming up towards the end of our time here. So Lavanya, number one, thank you so much for joining me here. I just want to make one final call out to our blog, that aka.ms/devsecopsbuild21 blog, where you can find how to include this feature set. And then, thanks for joining us today.
Right. Absolutely. And yeah, thanks, Stephen, for having me over. It was a great session. And go ahead.
So those of you watching, please leave your feedback in the chat. And then you can head to the link below to see past episodes and see what's coming up next.